रंसकहौ श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु निज्ञानंदाधर श्रीकांत जीवन भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौरी गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंभ गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय, मायापुर धाम की जय, नवद्वीप धाम की जय, जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय, जामुन माई की जय, भक्तगिरि की जय, तुलसीगिरि की जय, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद
strong faith in them.
I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. These are the necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of a pure, unadulterated devotee. Such a candidate must always seek the association of pure devotees. One should not be misled by a pseudo-devotee. He himself must be plain and gentle to receive the instructions of such a pure devotee. A pure devotee is a completely surrendered soul under the personality of Godhead. He knows the personality of Godhead as the supreme proprietor, and all others as his servitors. And by the association of pure devotees only, one can get rid of all sins accumulated by mundane association. A neophyte devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee, and he should be very much obedient strictly follow the instructions. These are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing division of life. Why should I suffer unnecessarily? Why don't I become a pure devotee as soon as possible? So how do I do that? Narada Muni is telling me. Sometimes we tell our story how I came to Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni, he is telling his story how he came to Krishna consciousness. Not only how he came to Krishna consciousness, how he came to Shuddha Bhakti. How he attained pure Bhakti. So this is a very nice mercy Narada Muni is giving him. This is how I did it. This is how I became a pure devotee. So if you want to become an absolutely pure devotee, you can actually, you know, what does a pure devotee mean? It means you can see Krishna face to face. You actually get, I mean, it's a very rarely achieved position. Even among the devotees, how many of us are pure devotees? So when you become a pure devotee, that's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So, by studying these very nice points of Narada Muni, you can understand how to become human beings. What was the first point? He was attached to the sages. Of course, we know he was taking the remnant, the Maha, because they've all been attached to the Maha. Yeah, of course. We're all attached to Mahavishnu. That's not difficult. He was not only attached to the Mahaprasad, he was attached to the Satan. So that's the first qualification to become a pure devotee. You have to be attached to the Satan. How attached are we to the devotees? We're running, finding out, oh, this devotee is this soul, that devotee is that soul. How attached are we to the devotees? How much do we, what does attachment mean? Love. How much do I love the Vaishnava? How much do I love them? How much do I hate them? How much do I love the devotees? That I must see. Because if you don't love the devotees, guess who you can't love? Krishna. If you don't love the devotees, you can't love Krishna. Why? Yeme bhakta chana bhakta. Name bhaktishka tejana. Mad bhaktanam chige bhakta. Yeme bhakta tamahata. Krishna said, my dear son of Pita Arjuna, if you are my devotee, you're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you are. So now that you'll see why we have to love the devotees. Prabhupada always quoted the English saying, you love me, love my devotee.
Yeah.
Guru is Bhagavata. So you don't, if you want to love the master, you must love the dog. So only the spiritual master I should love, and all the devotees are jerks. No, Prabhupada said, they're Prabhu. We call them Prabhu, master. Or also we call Mataji, the same thing. Mataji, she is our mother. The son, he is obedient to his father and obedient to his mother. So they are our master, our mother, our Mataji, she is our master. The Prabhu, they are man. Same concept. You're my superior. I'm under you. So I must learn to love them. I must learn to love them. They're my superior devotees. Everyone is my superior devotee. Dasa, dasa, dasa. I'm the servant of the servant. Every Vaishnava is my superior. That is the Guru. So not only is my Diksha Guru, but I have so many other Gurus. Diksha Gurus. So I love all of them. So the more you can love the Vaishnava, the more you will actually become pure in your heart. So that's the first point. I was very much attached to those sages. But the second one, I was gentle in behavior.
In English, we have that word, gentleman. What does it mean? A gentle man. One who is not rough in his dealings. So, we can analyze ourselves. Am I being rough? Or am I being gentle? Is my behavior rough? Ruffian behavior? Or is it gentleman behavior? Am I barking like a dog? Ruffian. Am I barking like a dog in my behavior with Vaishnavas? Am I very gentle and sweet in my behavior? I have one god brother, I just love to talk with him, because just by hearing his voice, I feel like I'm getting massage. This, his voice is so sweet. It's so full of love. Just by speaking with him, I feel like I'm getting a soul massage with him. So, in this way, we have to be gentle, very sweet in our dealing with him. I was gentle in behavior. And the next point, all my sins were eradicated in this service. Can you imagine? Just by serving the Vaishnava, all of your sins can be eradicated. Now, how many sins is that? Two or three? No. We have millions and billions of sins accumulated for millions and billions of lifetimes. But even all those millions and billions of sins, they can be eradicated just by serving the devotee. Now, do you see how important this is, Vaishnava Seva? It's so important. The next point, in my heart, I had strong faith in him. Why did Naradini put his faith in these things? Because they had faith in Krishna. Those who have complete faith in Krishna, we can put our faith in them. His next statement, I had subjugated the senses. What is that called?
Goswami.
He's a little kid. He's a little boy. But yet he was Goswami because he subjugated his senses. He wasn't a wild sense gratifier. He subdued his senses. In his last statement, I was strictly following them with body and mind. So what about words? He didn't say it was following my words, only his body and mind. Does that mean he was talking some nonsense? No. Because if you're actually, simply if your mind is following, if you have the proper mental attitude, then everything else falls in place automatically. If you have the proper mood of loving service to the devotee, then when you speak, that love will be expressed by your words. And when you act, that love will be expressed by your actions. So this it's a very nice little mental hook. It rhymes very nicely. It's called Attitude of Gratitude. If we understand how fortunate we are to have the association of devotees, how much blessed we are to have the association of devotees, then we'll always feel grateful. We'll always have that attitude of gratitude. And if that attitude of gratitude is present, then we will naturally want to serve them. We will naturally be gentle in our behavior to them. We will naturally want to please them. So this is a very important point, to always have that gratitudinous spirit, that attitude of gratitude. And now we'll kind of go through the purport a little bit too. He says, these are the necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of a pure, unadulterated devotee. So how important it is for us to be aware of these qualifications. Well, we're not interested in becoming pure unadulterated devotees. It's not so important. But if we're interested in becoming, as Prabhupada said, pure unadulterated devotees, Prabhupada says necessary qualifications. In other words, if you don't have these qualifications, you can't become a pure devotee. You can't. They're necessary, they're required. So if we want to become pure devotees, which means if we want to get out of all of our distress, which we have because of the impurities within our hearts, then it's absolutely necessary that we understand these qualifications as described by Narayana. Attached to the devotees, the first one. We can even number them. One, attached to the devotees. Two, gentle in behavior. Having faith in the devotees, subjugating the senses, and then following them. So there's attached to the sages, that's one. Being gentle in behavior, that's two. Strong faith in the devotees, that's three. Subjugating the senses, that's four. And strictly following the devotees, that's five. So you have in the recipe for pure devotional service, these five ingredients must be present. According to Prabhupada's statement, you must have these five things if you want to become a pure devotee. It's pretty important that we all know these five things and we cultivate them consciously every day in all of our dealings with devotees. And then Prabhupada continues, such a candidate must always seek the association of pure devotees. That's the word of Prabhupada. Now someone may say, well, you know, I want to become perfect in chanting, you know, Shivanam. That's our goal, of course. And the first offense against the chanting is to offend the Vaishnavas. Someone may say, you know, I've been in the temple, I've been associating with devotees, but there's so many conflicts and arguments and fighting and politics, so I'm just going to go to the forest and chant there, you know. So I won't commit any Vaishnava parad. I can just become a pure devotee chanting all by myself in a nice cabin out in the woods somewhere, just chant. But our founder Acharya, the divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Nandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, has stated that as a candidate, one, in other words, one who wants to achieve pure devotional service must always seek the association of pure devotees. Some may say, well, there's no pure devotees in this kind. But wait a minute. Prabhupada's a pure devotee. And every devotee is pure to the extent they're following Prabhupada. Every devotee in this movement has purity to the extent that they're sincerely following Srila Prabhupada. So I see so many devotees who are sincerely serving Srila Prabhupada. So there's a lot of purity here. There's oceans of purity in this movement. Oceans and oceans of purity in this movement. There's so many devotees dedicating their whole lives, distributing books, worshipping deities, teaching in the Gurukulas, you know, managing temples, working their jobs, maintaining their families as loyal members of the temple, donating to the temple. There's so many devotees who are purely serving Prabhupada's mission. You can't tell me we don't have pure bhakti in this movement. That since Prabhupada left, there's no pure bhakti. We have to go somewhere else for pure bhakti. You can't tell me that. There's so much purity in this movement. So we have very good facility here in this society to get the association of pure devotees. And then Prabhupada warns one should not be misled by a pseudo devotee. What is a pseudo devotee? someone who pretends to be a devotee, but actually is simply gratifying their senses. Bhaktivinoda Thakura has actually sung a bhajan about such pseudo devotees. He called them Kali Chela. Maybe you've heard Prabhupada talk about that song. He thought Bhaktivinoda says he has tilak on the nose, he has kanti mala on the neck, but he's behind, he's keeping so many women for illicit sex. So we have to be on the lookout for the Kali Chela. Even Prabhupada said we sometimes have them in this country. He said we have, Prabhupada said we have sahajas in this movement, he said we have Kali Chelas. We have to be on the lookout. It's the duty of our managers, our GBC, our national committees, to weed them out, actually. Sometimes we have them. So we have to understand by seeing who is following Prabhupada. Those who are sincerely following Prabhupada, those are the devotees. We want their association. We want to serve them, we want to love them, we want to hear from them, we want to bow down to them. We want to get their mercy. Because these devotees who are sincerely serving Prabhupada's mission, their association will enable us. If we follow these 5 points given by Narada Muni, by their association, we will become pure devotees. Next point, Prabhupada. He himself must be plain and gentle to receive the instructions of such a pure devotee. What does it mean to be plain? It means not to be pretentious, making a show of being a big hotshot. You know, I remember when Brahmachari years ago, he said, "They just call me the Paramahansa Brahmachari." And shortly after that, he left the movement. He made a recording. He made a CD that they put out, called Navadar Productions, released it. The name was Viksha Rastas. Very flashy. It was Indian instruments, it was like a rock and roll Indian instruments. Very flashy tape. It was kind of cool tape, but he's gone. He's finished. He's presenting himself as the Paramahansa. He was actually calling himself the Paramahansa. He was labeling himself as the Paramahansa Brahmachari. Promoting himself. But plain doesn't mean, plain means you don't promote yourself. You keep a very low profile, a very humble profile. That I'm just a humble fallen soul, not that I am part of a humps. In warfare, you see, how is a soldier trained when he's on the battlefield? A high profile or a low profile? You keep a low profile, soldier, down in the dirt. You crawl in that dirt. If you don't want to get shot, you crawl in that dirt. You inch your way forward in the dirt. Down in the dirt. That's how a soldier doesn't get shot dead. High profile means shot down by the enemy. And who was our enemy in this war? Maya Devi. Prabhupada compared like, of course she is a devotee, but she's playing that. So we are meant to keep very low profile, very humble, plain and simple. Not I am the big paksha. Prabhupada himself, he's the biggest position, but yet so humbly. He so humbly presented himself. In 1972, when we gave Prabhupada the Vyasa Puja book from all the devotees, he said, so humbly, he said, actually, you are all the representatives of my Guru Maharaj. You've been sent by him. But now you're simply playing the role of my affectionate disciples. So humbly, you see. You're actually my Guru Maharaj's representative. You're playing this role and assisting me in my service to him. This is the humility, you see, of an advanced Vaishnava. He doesn't think it's a very big.
This is very important.
Must be plain and gentle. For what purpose? To receive instructions. If you think you're Mr. Know-it-all or Miss Know-it-all, then how do you take instruction? You see? You have to think, who am I? I'm just pretty much a space cadet, to be honest. Pretty spaced out character. You know, coming out of the swamp, crawling out of the swamp of material existence, trying to become a civilized human being, you know. So we have to be very humble. Be willing to take instructions. And then Prabhupada continues, the pure devotee is a completely surrendered soul under the personality of Godhead. He knows the personality of Godhead as the supreme proprietor in all others. As his servitors. What does that mean? All others are servitors of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only the devotees are servitors, right? So how all others can be servitors? Well, they are, actually. And you can either serve the state as a free citizen or as a prisoner within the prison. Actually, everyone is serving Krishna. Some are serving him directly, that's a very, very small number of the devotees. And most are serving him indirectly by serving the material nature. So actually everyone is a servant of God. So there's two ways to serve. Serve the spiritual energy or serve the material energy. By the association of pure devotees only can one get rid of all the sins accumulated by mundane association. So this idea of being going in a solitary place and chanting a japa and becoming a pure devotee, forget it. You'll never do it. There's a famous bhajan by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He says, my dear mind, what sort of rascal are you that you want to go to a solitary place and simply do nama bhajana? Is it? What sort of rascal are you, mind? So this association is so important. Sadhu Sangha Sarva Sarva Shastra Kai Sadhu Sangha Lava Matra Sarva Siddhi Hai. This tribe in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Sadhu Sangha is so powerful thing. Sarva Shastra Kai, it is stated in all scriptures that even by one Lava Matra, what is Lava Matra? It is only 1/11th of a second. That's how powerful Sadhu Sangha is. 1/11th of a second, one can achieve sarva siddhi hai, all perfection. This is such a powerful thing. And Baba continues, a neophyte devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee. This is why one takes a spiritual master. You see. One takes a spiritual master to serve the spiritual master. It's a must, it's a necessity. On the pathway of perfection given by Rupa Goswami. And the first step is Shraddha. Actually, we're doing a seminar on that. This series, Shraddha the Prema, tonight and tomorrow night will be a seminar upstairs. How these steps are described by Rupa Goswami, by Prabhupada and Bhaktivedanta Thakur, and by, let's see, the author of Madhurya Kadambani. So there are these steps, Shraddha, Sarasanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, these steps one must go through to become the pure devotee. So, the first thing is you have faith, and you associate with devotees, you take initiation, you want to find a spiritual master. So these things are required. It's confirmed by Prabhupada. The neophyte must serve the pure devotee. And how? According to your own whims, well, I would like to serve him this way. No, he says he should be very much obedient and strictly follow the instructions. And Prabhupada concludes, these are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing duration of life. Now that is really enlivening, that last point. You don't have to wait for death to become a pure devotee. Of according to this purport. Even within your existing duration of life, your present incarnation, this particular body, if you can follow these points, just as Narada Muni became the pure devotee, then you can also become the pure devotee. Prabhupada wants this, actually. Prabhupada already wants that. One lady said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So, of course, we have a long way to go yet. This is the order of Prabhupada. He wanted to become pure devotees. So we have to struggle, actually, to control these wild senses. We have to struggle. It's a daily struggle. Someone may say, well, it's too discouraging for me to struggle with my senses. I'm just going to go back and try to enjoy them again. And this struggle is too difficult for me. Many people, they reach that conclusion. I can't handle this struggle. Better just to give in and serve the senses. But you know what? Struggle can be really ecstatic. Just think of somebody who's struggling to conquer Mount Everest. One has to embrace the challenge, you see. One has to have the mood of a hero, a conquering hero, to take some impossible challenge, you see. Even in the material world, you see, there are people who do that. It's like when Stephen Jobs was brought back into Apple, the company was on the verge of bankruptcy. But he took it as a challenge. It was his baby, Apple Computers. He turned it into, it became, they had more money than the U.S. government last year. Apple Computers had more money than the U.S. government did. And it was on the verge of bankruptcy. So it was a great struggle for him, but he embraced that struggle, you see. So in the same way, we have to embrace the struggle, you see, even though it seems sometimes almost hopeless. How can I conquer these senses? My eyes want to see every beautiful girl, my ears want to hear nonsense music, my tongue wants to eat nonsense, my senses are pulling me. How can I ever possibly get out of this quagmire of sense gratification? But no, I want you to be determined. No, Narada Muni did it. And Prabhupada is telling us how to do that. By the mercy of Narada Muni, by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of my spiritual master, by the mercy of the devotees, I'm going to do this. I must do this. This is my goal. I'm going to work hard and achieve it, you see. In this way, if you embrace the struggle to become a pure devotee, you think Krishna will neglect you? Or you think he'll reciprocate with you? What does he say in Bhagavad Gita? Ye yatama prapadyante tam satayam vajamyam. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So we have about 2 minutes left. I was told to end at 8. Huh? Oh, quarter past eight. Okay. We have our authority here, Supreme Authority here, Melbourne Supreme Authority. He's. Okay. You know, what we usually do, there's no one has paper, but if you have paper, it's easier for me because I'm getting really deaf in old age. One thing is you can write questions down, or I can try hearing them, so we didn't announce them. Does anybody have any questions? I'll try to give my best shot here. Any questions? Yeah?
I would recommend, not question.
Do you ever have questions?
Comment.
Do you? I'm just curious. It seems like you always have comments, you never have questions. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We have to interrogate the mood of Srila Prabhupada. We have to think that we are servant of every devotee. Even if somebody is doing one wrong, he is also a devotee. So we have to serve each and every devotee. Then only we can have the mood of Srila Prabhupada.
Yes. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
How do you avoid being artificial in trying to develop these qualities?
How do you
how do you avoid artificiality and try to develop these qualities?
How do we avoid being artificial and genuinely try to develop these qualities? It's an interesting chastisement that Prabhupada one time made of a disciple. He wrote Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything, you're simply insignificant. So sometimes, you know, trying to be humble, we actually just puff ourselves up in a different way. So that's why having seniors around is very helpful, because they can spot the hypocrisy in our quasi-humility, and they can pop the little bubble for us. That's why we really need senior devotees, any guru, any diksha guru, senior devotees. We have our GBC is there, we have our temple managers. Having these senior devotees there, this helps us. Because they can see faults that we can't see sometimes. Even just in the Brahmacharya Ashram, Brahmacharini Ashram, or in married life, husband and wife, we can often see the fault of each other when we can't see it, our own fault. I can see somebody else's fault, but I can't see my fault. So that's why it's always good to have our superiors and our peers openly tell us. Actually, a very good way to do it is just like we were just in Sydney. One of my disciples really served me and my wife very nicely. And then he said, is there any defect in my service? That is very intelligent thing. He asked, is there any defect in my service? Please tell me if I've done something wrong. Isn't that what he was saying? So this mood of inquiring from the devotees, Prabhu, is there anything I'm doing wrong? You can approach your authority, your Aniruddha Prabhu, or your department head. See. Is there anything I'm doing wrong in my service? Anything wrong with my attitude? It's very good and very open yourself up to criticism, like that. Constructive criticism. You know, it's very good. If you have a Bhakta Bhiksha program, your Bhakta Bhiksha leader, or to your spouse, you see, or any trusted friends you have as Brahmacharya, Brahmacharini. If you can open yourself, open your heart up and say, is there something, do you see any fault in me? Please tell me what it is so I can rectify it. You may be afraid to do that, but actually that's a very therapeutic thing to do. To open yourself up to criticism by from others. That can really help a lot. Please tell me, what am I doing wrong, Prabhu? Please correct me. Any other questions? Yeah. So I missed a few words. What is she saying?
He says that we want to have a good association with the devotees, but sometimes conflicts happen.
Yeah.
And with the devotees, it's difficult to overcome than the non-devotees. So
really? It's more difficult to overcome clashes with the devotees than it is with the non-devotees.
Feelings. You can say feelings. Right? The feelings. To overcome the clashes when it happens with the devotees, the feelings that are difficult to overcome, then if it happens with non-devotees.
Well, see, non-devotees, we're not so intimately associated with them. That's one thing.
So,
I mean, ideally, we shouldn't be intimately. Since we're not intimately associated
with them. How do you deal with that?
So it is more difficult. Those you're intimately dealing with, if you have conflicts with them, it's certainly more traumatic. When you have conflicts with those with whom you're intimate, your family, this is our family. Our material families are not very significant for us now. But this family is very significant to us, the ISKCON family. So if I have conflicts within the ISKCON family, that's very traumatic for someone who's trying to enter into this spiritual family of ISKCON, that they find they have some conflicts with different devotees that they don't see any solution for those, or how to deal with that. Of course, there are different levels of devotee. That's one thing. Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There are devotees, he states, who are in the mode of ignorance. They're proud, they're arrogant. They're Krishna conscious, but yet they're proud and they're arrogant. Vishwanath Chakravarti, as quoted by Prabhupada, states that such devotees, you respect them, but you keep them at a distance. You don't intimately mix with such devotees. So some devotees who are full of fault finding and arrogance, and it's always a conflict to deal with them. You deal with them only as much as is necessary to get your service done. You don't try to make them your intimate, close friend within Krishna consciousness. That's one thing. But what about those that are not proud and arrogant, but they're sincerely doing their best, but you have conflict with them, who are not in the category of Prabhupada, the qualities first, as I was mentioning, devotees in the mood of ignorance. What if they're actually devotees who are sincere and genuine, they're working hard to push for this movement? They're definitely not in a tamasic. And I have conflicts with them, and what do I do with that? What I found is a very, very helpful trick. Because honestly speaking, sometimes we do have conflicts, you know, with our God brothers. You know, different things, we disagree and sometimes. So instead of feeling bad about that devotee, I just think, how would Prabhupada see him? How would Prabhupada see this devotee? What would his vision of this devotee be? And Prabhupada would see the wonderful, dedicated, years and years of dedicated service this person has put in to this movement, serving his mission. So I try to, if I have some contact with a devotee, I think, well, what's my vision? It's not very important. Prabhupada's vision, that is important. How does Prabhupada see? And I found that really helpful to overcome feelings of conflict. So, okay, I had some conflict with this devotee. It wasn't even resolved, but still I respect you because I know you're sincerely serving this mission. That's one way to deal with it. You don't appear you're fully satisfied yet with the answer. I'm just judging by you, your face, the index face of the index of the mind, looks like you're not fully satisfied with the answer. You are? It completely dissolved the doubt, you still have some doubt. You look like you're still doubtful.
No, I was just listening carefully.
Huh?
She was listening carefully.
Oh, okay.
Paying for attention.
Okay. Yeah, it's a struggle because we do have sometimes conflicts amongst ourselves. And Prabhupada had to tell us, don't fight amongst yourselves. Why did he say that? Because we do fight amongst ourselves. That's the reality. So Prabhupada had to tell us, don't fight amongst yourselves. Is it? So, I know one God brother, he said, Dina Bandhaguru, he said, if he gets angry at a God brother, he counts to 10 before he says anything. Instead of blurting something out at any reason, he says 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Or you could just go, I'll chant the Hare Krishna mantra one time. That, you know, I feel like, you know, punching in the face, Prabhu, then I just wait and I go, okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, okay, Hare Krishna, my faith in the team. It's always good to check yourself. Goswami, he doesn't give in to the impulse of the senses. He's not controlled by the senses. He keeps the senses under his control. It's not that Protovagan overpowers him. He may act sometimes in an angry way to instruct others, like Prabhupada did to us. He may use anger in a carefully controlled way to make a point. Even the parent may have to show anger to the child sometimes. The same. One should never be under the influence of anger. The devotee is never under the influence of anger. He never should be under anger's influence. Never. If we can just control our krodha vega, you see, then everything that alone will solve the conflicts, problems, you know, interpersonal problems we have in our society. If we can just conquer our anger, and not speak out of anger or act out of anger. But it all comes back to the original point I made earlier in the class, the attitude of gratitude. If you'll always try to appreciate each devotee, even the ones you have conflicts with, try to meditate on things about them you find to be appreciable. Always try to appreciate them. And then if your mind is thinking in that way, then you're not going to say something wrong, you're not going to do something out of anger. So it's a matter of controlling your mind, really. It's a matter of controlling your mind. A devotee is the master of his or her mind. He's not the slave of the mind. He's the master of the mind. So while we're doing so many things with our body, you know, doing this, cutting vegetables, going out with our voices, preaching, we're doing so many things with our voices and our bodies. But the most important thing is, what are you doing with your mind? Are you keeping your mind under your control 24 hours a day, or is your mind running wild like a you know, wild dog or a wild monkey? You see? The most important thing is you keep that mind under control. You see? The most important thing. So this japa is the prime technique for mastering that art of bringing your mind under control. This japa mala yajna that we do every day. This is meditation. If you chant around in a meditative way, is it going deep, deep, deep into the sound vibration? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you're developing the skill known as mind mastery. By keeping that mind very, very enwrapped within the sound vibration of Hare Krishna mantra. And not letting it run hither and thither and all over the three worlds. You keep that mind very much enwrapped in the mantra. This will then give you the strength of mind, mental strength. If you've mastered the art of chanting japa in a very deep meditative way, this is japa mantra meditation. It's not an exercise of the tongue. The tongue does exercise, but that's the external manifestation. This is an intense meditation. It's not just a tongue exercise. The mind must be very much deeply absorbed in the sound vibration, Hare Krishna. So if you have trained yourself by very seriously working very hard to bring that mind under control every day when you chant your rounds, you'll find that you can keep that mind fixed the whole day in Krishna consciousness. Another trick is to always see everything through the eyes of the scripture. Never allow yourself to see things through the eyes of the false ego. Always cultivate shastric vision in everything that you do. That means you need to regularly study these books. You need to know these books very intimately. You must know these teachings in these books. That way, you can always see through the books and not through your own rascal vision. That will make you strong, that will make you perfect in your dealings with the Vaishnavas. Even if there's some conflict, it's easily resolved by seeing through the eyes of Prabhupada books. with a mind that's trained in fixity by deep mantra meditation every day. So we got about zero time left. So we thank you all very much for your participation in this movement. Now we have the Sankirtan Marathon going on. Let's flood the planet with Prabhupada's mercy, especially now. This is the real holiday. They call it holiday season. This is the real holiday, holy day, to give them the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like anything. Sri Prabhupada ki jai.